We are continuing the study of the story of Ruth in the Warren County Radio Bible School this morning. We've come to that point where Naomi is returning to Bethlehem and Orpah has turned back to go to Moab, but Ruth is going to stay with her mother-in-law. Let me read what she said to Naomi. You've heard this many times. Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, and return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go, and whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. And where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. Jehovah do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part me and thee." That is the book of Ruth, chapter 1. Verses 16 and 17. We'll get to Elam's comments on that in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And we're looking at a Sunday school lesson E.A. Elam wrote about Ruth for the Sunday schools of December the 5th, 1926. And here's what Elam wrote. "Ruth was willing and determined to forsake all for the true God. Entreat me not to leave thee. For whether thou goest, I will go, and whether thou lodgest, I will lodge." Ruth was personally attached to Naomi and manifested a true, unselfish, lofty, and noble nature. Naomi was old, childish, and poor. For these reasons, Ruth clung to her. Now, that's not childish. That's what I read. I think that should be remain childless. Naomi was old, childless, and poor. But for these reasons, Ruth clung to her. Naomi was a good and true mother-in-law who had taught her daughters-in-law the true God and His worship. Ruth appreciated this and firmly expressed her determination to follow Naomi at any cost. "Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." Ruth, although personally attached to Naomi, had a higher reason for accompanying her. She was moved by religious consideration. She had turned from idolatry to worship the true and living God. She was ready to give up her country for another country, her people for a strange people, her God for the true God. And in verse 17, "Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried." It has been well said that now we must take God's people for our people. And this we will do if we are His children, rich or poor. Whoever does the will of God is heaven is owned by Jesus as His brother and sister and mother, Matthew 12 and verse 50. Christianity overleaps social forms, family ties, and national bounds. One Christian is a brother to every other Christian in the world and loves him as a Christian. Jehovah, do so to me and more also, if all but death part thee and me. The use Ruth makes here of the name Jehovah and this oath, common at the time, shows that she was acquainted with Jehovah and respected the true God. When Naomi saw that Ruth was steadfastly minded to go with her, she left off speaking to her, that is, ceased to persuade her to return to her people. Ruth was settled in her convictions and determined in her purpose. Thus Paul says, "But one thing I do." He had but this one purpose and made but this one effort. That is Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 15. And I would like to read that where Paul said, "This one thing I do." Here we read where Paul wrote, "Howbeit, what things were gained to me, these have I counted loss for Christ. Yea, verily, and I count all things to be loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but refuse, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having righteousness of my own, even that which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, becoming conformed unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained, am I already made perfect, but I press on, if so be, that I may lay hold on that for which I also was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on toward the goal to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as are perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you're otherwise minded, this also shall God reveal unto you." So, that's what Ruth was essentially saying when she was telling Naomi, "The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." All this presents a beautiful family picture in every particular. The home influence of a devout and good mother-in-law, and the dutifulness and faithfulness of a pious daughter-in-law. From every home the light of Christians should now shine, for there is great power in a consistent home life. Home is the realm of godly women. And so we'll continue our reading in Ruth chapter 1, verses 19 through 21, where we read, "So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And the women said, 'Is this Naomi?' And she said unto them, 'Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me, and I went out full, and Jehovah hath brought me home again empty. Why call ye me Naomi, seeing Jehovah hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?'" Returning to Elam's notes, we read, "Naomi and Ruth then traveled together to Bethlehem. All the city was moved about them, and the women said, 'Is this Naomi?' The news of Naomi's return soon spread through Bethlehem. The people all knew her. They knew that she left them there over 10 years before with her husband and her 2 sons, and now has returned poor, desolate, and helpless. At this, all, especially the women, expressed surprise. 'Is this Naomi?' They did not ask the question because they did not recognize her, but to express their astonishment at her condition, as if they had said, 'Can this poor, sorrowful creature be Naomi?' And Naomi replied, 'Call me not Naomi.'" The name means pleasant. "Call me Mara." The name means bitter. She was once happy, but now she had returned in bitterness of sorrow. "For the Almighty had dealt very, very bitterly with me," she said. She gave the following reason for this, saying, "I went out full, and Jehovah hath brought me home again empty. Jehovah hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me." She did not complain at the working of God, but recognized his hand in it all. that God had visited his people with plenty after the famine, that he had afflicted her and sent her home empty. She went away full, and that she had her husband and her two sons, and plenty. She returned empty, and that she returned a widow, in poverty, and her sons dead. She recognized this as God's testimony against her for leaving Bethlehem. And then in Ruth 1:22 we read, "So Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest." This beginning of barley harvest would have been about the middle of our spring, and following this would be the wheat harvest. Ruth still showed her faithfulness and devotion to Naomi, and in her proposition to go and glean for a living. We read about gleaning in the book of Leviticus. It was a provision that God made for the poor. Those who were harvesting their crops were to not pick up that which had fallen, or to glean in the corners of the field, but leave them for the poor, so they could go out and gather that grain for themselves. It was a way of providing for the poor without making them lazy, for they still had to go out and work for what they had, but they would be able to be sustained by the grains that they gathered and the bread they would make from those grains. Ruth gleaned in the fields of Boaz. He was a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech. Boaz was kind and generous to Ruth. He recognized her devotion to Naomi, her piety, her acceptance of the true God, her purity and virtue, and treated her in accordance with God's word as he should. When the nearest of kin, the man whose attention Boaz called to Ruth, declined to marry her, Boaz, being the next nearest of kin, married her. Of this marriage was born Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. Now that's the end of the Sunday school lesson, except for this poem at the very end, where it says, "I see not a step before me as I tread the days of the year, but the past is still in God's keeping. The future his mercy shall clear, and what looks dark in the distance may brighten as I draw near. So I go on, not knowing. I would not know if I might. I would rather walk in the dark with God than go alone in the light. I would rather walk with him by faith than walk alone by sight." I turn the page in my little Sunday school book, and I see here's a Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam prepared for the Sunday schools of December the 12th, 1926, about the boy Samuel. And he begins this by suggesting we read 1 Samuel chapters 1 through 3. I'm going to begin this reading now, and I may run out of time, but we'll complete that as we go further into these studies on future programs. And so let's turn to the book of Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 1. "Now there was a certain man of Ramatham Zophim, of the hill country of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of the city from year to year to worship and to sacrifice unto Jehovah of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, priests unto Jehovah, were there. And when the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to her sons and daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a double portion, for he loved Hannah but Jehovah had shut up her womb. We'll continue there in our next class.